Hi, I'm Leanne Blaney, adventure coach, speaker, and award-winning author. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast, where we are having conversations about what might be holding you back and how to move forward to achieve your dream life. Come along on a journey and set yourself up by having freedom in your choices, becoming grounded and centered, and learn how to speak from the heart. For more information, go to leanneblaney.com. Let's ignite your life. Terry Tonkin believes every person has a capacity within them to create the life they choose to have. We have all played roles in our lives, and yet they do not define us. Those roles have made us who we are today, with all the learnings and the strengths gathered along the way. She is a speaker, author, coach, and facilitator, and her goal is to ensure everyone she meets has happiness in their life every day. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne, and thank you very much for the opportunity to be here with you.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I'm really excited to talk about happiness with you today. But do you want to start off a little bit telling us about you? What do you do?
I'm a author, a speaker, facilitator, a mentor, and a coach, and I work primarily with individuals to empower them to have that happiness every day. A lot of people are waiting for happiness to happen to them or for them, and I empower my clients to actually find it within themselves every single day.
It's definitely a big thing, isn't it? Like we often hear that, oh, when people say, when this happens, then I'll be happy, or, you know, when I lose weight or when I get some money, then I'll be happy, rather than that happiness every day.
Yeah, and it's, I think that's part of our culture too, is that we are always looking to the future for what it is that we want or need. Whereas for me, I'm not saying that we don't have the other emotions. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we can choose happiness every day. Find the things that make us happy. There are things that we can do every day that will bring us happiness. And we don't have to wait to find it or for happiness to come to us, because that's only going to be a momentary thing. Whereas if you actually choose happiness every day, you can pick it up all the time.
Yeah, that's so true. So before we go into, you know, a bit more into definitions and how you get your clients and people that you talk to, you know, to look at it this way, do you want to tell us a bit about how you got to this point? What did you actually do to lead you to think, okay, people need to learn about how to be happy every day rather than in the future?
Probably my life experiences, mature age lady. So I've lived in a variety of locations around Australia. I've worked in a variety of employment as well. I've worked with young teenagers transitioning from school into the work environment. I've worked within a government department. And I guess that was probably the place where I really started to realise that people were miserable and they weren't looking to change that other than waiting for it to happen. The environment that I was in was actually quite toxic, and I thought, people can't live like this. People were miserable. They were getting sick. They were taking time off work. They were taking mental health days because they weren't happy and they didn't know how to find happiness within themselves. So I guess it actually stemmed from there. And then I went on and completed some study around the life coaching, and I thought, yeah, this is what people need. They need to be able to understand that they have a choice in this every single day. They don't have to wait. They can do things each day that'll bring them joy. Find something that brings them joy each day. So it's been probably a bit of a journey to get to the, that's where I'd like to help people.
Yeah, I think we've got similar backgrounds in that, because I come from that government background as well. And that's what I found definitely, is that people were miserable every day. You know, even myself, I was miserable. I'm thinking, I don't want to get up today. I don't want to get up and then travel to work and see these people again, you know, and keep doing the same thing over and over. So, again, yes, once we learn this life coaching and the personal development side of things, now I realise that you can actually choose to see the little things all the time rather than waiting, oh, when I get a promotion or when that person leaves or when I finish this project, you know, it's actually today. What can I find that, you know, gives me a bit of joy or happiness today?
It's very debilitating, like you said, getting up, knowing that you have to get up and go into that environment every day. It's debilitating in itself, which again causes that mental health issues, the illness, the don't care attitude. And it's just a horrible place to work when the environment's like that. And like I said, there's so many little things like a gratitude journal, something as simple as I'm grateful for my cup of coffee in the morning because, you know, it warms me from the inside. The aroma stimulates my senses, the taste buds, all of those sorts of things. Being grateful for those things, as well as much bigger things, but learning to be grateful for the smaller things can actually bring a smile to somebody's face.
Yeah, it's definitely something I've found, even with my clients as well, is the gratitude is the first place to start. You know, when you start realising how much wonderful stuff is around you, the wonderful people, you know, you can be grateful for every day. You can be grateful the sun came up, you know.
Grateful for the air that we breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
Grateful that I can, that my body is still able to move and I have flexibility. I can go to the gym. I can go for a walk. And I can enjoy being outdoors. I can enjoy being indoors with hobbies or craft or whatever it might be. It's, there are little things to be grateful for each and every day.
Yeah, exactly. So do you want to tell us a bit about, I mean, well, we talked a little bit about the happiness and the definition of it, mm-hmm. but do you want to talk a bit more about what, you know, when you talk to maybe your clients or when you're speaking or even in your book, you know, what do you actually talk about in, around happiness?
Having choice. In my book, it's more about the roles that I've played throughout my life. Some of those roles I'm born into. I was born into the daughter, the younger sister, those kinds of things. There are other roles that I have fallen into throughout my life through circumstances. There are other roles that I've taken on by choice. All of those roles have made me the person that I am, but those roles don't define me. And a lot of people get caught up in, I am this or that, or I am a mum. Well, but everybody's so much more than just one thing. Mm. Because they're caught up in that, they don't look outside of that to see what else is available to them. Where else can they grow? What else can they contribute? What other value can they give to some other person? There's so much more than that. And when clients are looking at that, I had a young man in Melbourne and he'd given up on life in a lot of ways. He became a bit of a recluse. He was volunteering for additional shifts, longer shifts. He was declining going out on social events because he had a long-term relationship fall apart. He had lost his mum as a teenager and he just decided that nobody wanted him around. He wasn't a drinker, so he felt socially isolated. He chose to keep going to work because that gave him something to do. After working with him for 3 months or so, he was back playing his hockey. He was putting his hand up for social events and said, yeah, I'm keen. I'll be designated driver. And he was then getting the enjoyment of company. He was enjoying his sport. He got back into his property investing, but he had just shut himself down because he believed he had failed at a relationship, that he was only good at his job. There was nothing else that he was good at. And just working through, like, being grateful for those little things, having a look at the alternatives to what he was doing. So even looking at perceptions and checking in and going, well, is that really what's happening or is that just the way I see it? And allowing those conversations to open up his world. Mm.
Yeah, and I've been looking into a lot of this too, like why people are doing it to themselves. They are shutting down and there's so many more people that I see now that are becoming reclusive. And I'm wondering what your opinion on this is that I'm seeing the loneliness of people, like people are more lonely than they've ever been before because they disconnect by having conversations through text, through Facebook, through, you know, social media rather than actually going out and having a real conversation. So have you found that more as well?
Definitely, definitely. And as they say, with social media, so many people compare themselves to what they're seeing or hearing on social media, whether it be Facebook, Insta, all of those. We look at ourselves and we're our own worst critics. So we'll always look at the worst of us And when we see something on Facebook or social media in general, we're looking at the best of what somebody else is portraying. We don't know what's behind that. We don't know whether it's truth, a perception, or they're just putting on a brave face. But there is this comparison between our worst and somebody else's potential ideal best. And people are just going, well, I'm not going to measure up to that. I'll never be able to fit in. And it's one of the reasons I actually started my network group is I was sitting at home and I didn't have connection. I was working from home by myself. And connection is one of my highest values. So I need that personal interaction. I need to have human contact. Yes, I do a lot of business on social media, but I also need that human interaction.
Yeah. And when you talk about those two, like the driver of connection, there's also that driver of significance, isn't it? Mm. And if you're not going out there and connecting with people and actually giving and contributing and that, you're not getting that same level of significance back either, which I mean that in a really resourceful way, in that you feel good, you feel happy if you help somebody, if you go out and you're kind to somebody or, you know, do something like that, something to help somebody. That's when you're actually the feelings of happiness come in, more so than sitting at home on social media going, oh, that person's doing so well, my business is not going great today.
We've all got individual journeys. And even going back to the gratitude, saying thank you to somebody else for what they've done. Say thank you to the person on the checkout at the supermarket. Say thank you to the guy at the post office. Say thank you to the postman if you see him deliver your mail. Say thank you to your neighbour for picking up some rubbish on your footpath. It makes them feel significant and it also makes you feel significant as well. So giving and receiving.
Yeah, it's definitely that. I found, like when I wrote my book, I also put in things up where we can change our state. And like when we start getting into that reclusive state or feeling down or focusing inward and not on, you know, outward, that, you know, it only takes simple things to actually change that state, doesn't it? To be a mood booster or to actually even taking one step towards your goal, that can actually start you on a whole new path.
Definitely. And sometimes it is baby steps. Mm. It might be four steps forward and three steps back, but you're still going forward to what you were the day before. So any progress is progress. It's not a failure. And I think that's, sadly, it's something that has crept into our culture, is that if you don't make it on the first go, you're a failure. It's not that you've attempted something that nobody else has attempted. It's they automatically knock you down. It's that tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah.
Sadly for Australians, we tend to buy into that.
Another conversation I've been having just recently is how people define success, which I think is closely linked to happiness, because happiness and success always seems to be in the future. But I'm thinking that, you know, it's not a failure if you're actually taking a step to something that you have, you know, a goal or you want to do something, because the other person who's not doing that could be sitting on the couch doing nothing. Just because they didn't fail at it, but they never attempted it either. And that can change everything too.
Yeah. And you'll probably relate to this with running. One of the times that I did a half marathon, I was really struggling and I just picked a pair of shoes. Funnily, they were really bright shoes. And I just picked a pair of shoes and I just kept up with those shoes as much as I could. And we got to the end. And I put my arm around this lady and I said, thank you so much for holding pace for me. It really helped me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And she's like, oh, but I did such a horrible run. And I went, no, you did a magnificent run. Think of all those people that are sitting on the couch or still in bed and we've just run 21 kilometres. You've done fantastically. Well done. Congratulations. And she actually burst into tears and said, thank you. I needed to hear that. It's just those little things, you know, that can change somebody's perspective on what the actual situation is, change their state. Like she was miserable because she hadn't done a PB. For me, I was ecstatic because I'd finished. I'd got over the finish line. It is those little things that can just change your state.
If you're
really, really sad, walk out and stand in the grass. Take your shoes off and ground yourself and breathe in the fresh air and listen to the birds. And it changes everything.
So I'm glad you mentioned nature, because that's definitely one of my little secrets to balance, which what my book's about and what I try and teach people is that nature is so critical when it comes to changing that mood and having that feeling of happiness and that, because getting outside, it can change your mood in an instant. Like, you could be all cold and inside, but the sun's out. If you go out and find a sunny area, you can change straight away. You can just say, be calmer, be more relaxed. And they do say that, the research actually says that, you know, people are more confident and self-assured and if they get out in nature more, and they are happier people.
Yeah. Breathing the fresh air, getting the vitamin D from the sun, just smelling the smells of flowers and plants. And it's I love it. When I was running, I wouldn't run with any music or anything because I love to listen what was around me, and it was really and truly my time. And as much as the running might have been difficult, running without sound other than nature, that was the best for me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So what about just some last little tips maybe for people who are thinking, oh, happiness is elusive or it's for the future? What would you suggest to somebody just to get happiness into their life every day?
Firstly, gratitude. Gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What is around you, what you have, your health, your wealth, your environment, and to say thank you to people that help you as well. I think that's one of the biggest things. Perception, check in on your perception and see if what you believe to be true is true. It may not be quite as true as you believe. If you are having emotions, feel into those emotions. They're real, they're yours. And like I said at the beginning, I'm not saying happiness has to be there every day to the exclusion of all emotions. We are human. We have emotions. They're real. They're ours. Feel into them. Acknowledge them and go, yeah, that's why I'm having that. Validate them. Sit with them for a while and then work through that. Don't stay in the emotion.
Yeah.
Of them. And I guess one of the other things for me is having healthy and resourceful boundaries. Being able to say no. If you're overwhelmed and somebody's asking you to do something extra or do something that you don't normally do, be brave and say, no, I'm not able to do that at this time. Thank you for asking me, just not able to do that. So even having those healthy boundaries can help with happiness, I believe.
Yeah, no, great tips. Love them.
Thank you.
Just probably one more thing before we do end off. It's just that you said you were an author. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your books? Because I know that you've got a book and you're a co-author of another book as well.
My book I wrote last year. It's called My Time to Shine, Your Voice, Your Choice, Your Life. And as I said, it's about the roles that I've had in my life, right from birth through to the present day. Those roles have made me who I am, for better or worse. But they don't define me. I'm just a mum or a grandmother or an auntie or a sister or a daughter. There's so much more to my life. And I've enjoyed all the experiences that I've had throughout my life. And the other book was Business Warriors for the Working Woman of the 21st Century. And that was with 10 other authors, and we all had the opportunity to write a chapter on a topic of our own choosing. And I wrote mine on reality check. And it's really about looking at your perceptions and why it's important to check in on your perceptions, because they could actually be holding you back from growth personally and professionally. If you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. So it's an opportunity for everybody to just check in and go, well, is that really the way things are, or is it just my perception? What can I change? I'm about to go into another compilation book on the impact of suicide. So that's happening as well this year.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. What we might do is, if you want to give the listeners the best place to contact you, they can find out, you know, your books, where they are. Is it best on which social media site? We'd love to hear so that we can connect.
Probably to contact me directly, it's terry@connectwithin.com.au. I am on Facebook under my own name, under Connect Within, and under my meetup name, Women Embracing Business. So a couple of places there. Happy to share, talk, whatever it is, with anyone who would love to. Sorry. And my website, www.connectwithin.com.au.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Igniters, Terry brings a smile to my face. Choosing happiness every day can be simple. You don't have to wait to find it or for it to come to us. If you want to contact Terry, email her on terry@connectwithin.com.au. For getting off the road to burnout where you might be frustrated, energy depleted, feeling purposeless, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.